All right. And we'll start with, I guess we'll start right there. Man on Fire, I suggested to you, Will, and you can keep this in, by the way. Yeah, but I recommend the movie because it actually ties into longevity of an actor, of a musician, and that is LL Cool J. And I don't know if y'all have been on Club Shay Shay, you know, Shannon Sharp. He has celebrities, artists, what have you on his show, and they just talk about popular culture and just shoot the gift of gab. Well, on a recent episode, he's kicking it with LL Cool J. And it's such a profound, unique situation where you have a guy who now is recognized as an actor, even though he's a founder of hip hop. And he's been rapping since he was 8 years old. First record was published, it was 1984. So he's been in the game over 40 years doing music, making music. And majority of the young kids only recognize him as an actor. And it's such a strange phenomenon because every decade he has some huge hits that have shaped the culture. And right now when everyone's like, oh, the GOAT, greatest of all time. I remember when that album came out, right? And that's an expression that was coined and he invented that. He created that. And that's only one aspect. Another aspect is his age and his physique. So he has a very unique look, and then when you hear his age, you're like, whoa, I didn't know you could look like that in your 50s. But then sitting right next to him is Shannon Sharp, who's also in his 50s. It's like, whoa, all right, let me just reassess some things. I'm 37 years old and I still am realizing my limitations, but then adjusting to them, rolling with them, and then making the weaknesses stronger. And if that is the mindset and lifestyle, I can expect to look like that when I'm in my 50s and in my 60s and my 70s and in my 80s. And that's something that everyone here can do, right? Everyone can see their situation for what it is and then ask themselves, what do I want to look like when I'm 65? What do I want to look like when I'm 75? 85, 95, 105. And I'm a realist. I understand most people in their 20s, definitely teenage years, don't think about that. But there are things that happen every single day that impact what's going to happen in your 30s, in your 40s, and in your 50s. And today, one of the things that was on my heart was talking about liver function and also diabetes, pre-diabetes, and cancer, all forms of cancer, right? And it's like, oh man, I would hate to walk into the doctor's office and get some bad news saying, oh, you either have full blown blankety blank. Oh, you're pre-diabetic. Oh, you have a good thing we came in. You have cancer, right? That is the worst case scenario that I imagine most people don't want to think about. And then when they get the news, it is heartbreaking news. It's, well, what can I do? Well, there's nothing you can do. Well, what led to this? And it was little things along the way. Like, no one just starts off with psoriasis of the liver. That comes from repeated abuse of the liver function, which is to detoxify and push out all the bad things that enter in. And you can just go through them, right? Alcohol, carcinogens, viruses, bacteria, the bad bacteria, pesticides, all these chemicals, right? And some of these things are unavoidable, especially living in LA. You just breathe outside, you're bringing in a bunch of stuff that is toxic to the body. But thanks be to God, he designed an organ to break it down, and that's your liver. Well, what happens over time of not cleaning your liver, not giving it a break? Well, it starts first, it gets inflamed, then it gets fatty, and then it gets hardened. That's psoriasis. And then there's permanent liver damage where you need to get a liver transplant. And in my mind, that's the worst case scenario. If you went to the doctor, you heard that, got the news, get on this list, and it's a really extensive, long list to receive a new liver. And what's crazy is the liver regenerates, and it's one of those rare body parts that can fully regenerate itself. So now the trick is diagnosing the problem before it becomes a problem. Like, this is the preventative stage, right? But that doesn't even come across the radar, because that's actually a silent killer. All these things, the progression of liver damage, are practically 10-year cycles. First, it becomes inflamed. 10 years later, fatty liver. 10 years later, psoriasis. 10 years later, permanent liver damage, liver cancer, right? All that stuff. Well, these things can be, you can catch signs and symptoms of it ahead of time. And if you do, or are suspicious, you can clean up your liver, right? One of those is chronic fatigue, or inflammation, right? It looks like early onset arthritis somewhere in your body, cracked skin on your feet, right? All these things are subtle indicators that there's a problem with your liver function. Well, what do we do? Well, identify the problem and then adjust it. I had said before that I had started drinking as a young man, right? As a boy, like around puberty age, 12, 13. And then when I had my conversion to be friends with Jesus and to live it out, I stopped drinking completely cold turkey until I was 21. So there was almost a 2-year period when I was 19, 21, where I didn't drink at all, completely abstained from it. And ironically, that's when I got in the best shape of my life, when I was focused on going to the gym and going to rugby practice and my schoolwork. But at the time, I didn't realize one of the hidden attributes to being a young person in shape was a full functioning liver. And the liver, just almost like where it becomes so dysfunctional, and the degradation that goes into the abuse of it over a 10-year period, the healing sometimes takes a long time, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, depending on where you're at. And so one of those things, I'd say one of the keys that I want to leave you with today, is to fix your liver no matter where you're at. And the easiest one, I'd say, for me is to stop drinking. And so I did, and this is what, week 3, week 4, a month of not drinking alcohol at all, zero cold turkey, right? And the effects are great. Like, sleep quality is great, being able to fall asleep faster, stay asleep, not wake up to go to the bathroom, right? Being up and at 'em when my alarm clock goes off and not having the brain fog and just slow moving. Well, that's only one aspect. So it's identify the issue, come up with a solution, and then heal the organ. And so that's the next stage, is to, how do you heal it? Like, it's not enough to just abstain from drinking or from smoking, right? Bringing carcinogens into your lungs and into your bloodstream, which need to get detoxed from, or broken down in your liver. But then the next is saying, well, how do you scrub it? How do you clean it up? Is there a process that you can do? Is there a cleanse? What do I do? Well, what's fascinating about this is a process called autophagy. And autophagy is it's pretty much recycling the cell by starving it. So you starve when you're going into fasting, and your body is screaming out for food, your mind is saying, no, this is a period of not eating on a regular basis, only for a window of time, your body will eat itself and it goes first for the fat storage. All right, so it's breaking down the fat. Cool. The next part of, on the cellular level of needing those proteins, it's going to be going to what it needs, what's in excess, and then breaking that down. The part that is bad is going to be turned into bile, and then you push it out when you go to the bathroom. And then the parts that can be repurposed go into fixing damaged cells and then creating new ones. And that's a beautiful process that is in everyone. Like, well, yeah, if everyone has the capacity for autophagy, well, that might be the cure to cancer, the cure to diabetes, the cure to pre-diabetes, right? And to be able to do that regularly seems like something that more people should take advantage of before it becomes this full-blown issue that is irreversible. All right, well, what do I do? Where do I start? I'd say pick a day, once a week. I mentioned in a previous episode, the rules are a little bit different for women because of ovulation and having a period, having their period, menstruation, right? So when that happens, there's some different rules. And so I don't know all those rules. I'll have to get Marianne and on the show because she read a book on it and is able to apply it for that window of time of when it's actually safe to be doing fasting, and then other times where it's not good because it might throw off. It will throw off all the other processes, which is a cascading effect for women that doesn't apply to men, right? So with from here on out, just see it through my lens, the male perspective. And then if you are a woman who's listening to this, take with a grain of salt, do plenty of research, and don't just go in it willy-nilly. All right, so with fasting, what I'd recommend is one day a week, you choose it, where you know from sunup to sundown, you're not going to be eating. I had mentioned, I think, maybe a couple episodes, dry fasting, which is not even taking in water. And that is the efficient, really, really gritty way to do it and have the biggest bang for your buck, right? So in that moment, you're giving your liver a break. Your kidneys are kicking in pretty hard to also help in the process. But then the thing that's key to understand about not just autophagy and fasting, but it's the process of what is being cleansed and what is being detoxified. So with all the bile that is created in your body, it is acting like sludge. And I guess a better analogy would be it's oil. And if we're going to put those organs into some type of category, it'd be like just saying, oh, it's water-based. So we all know oil and water don't mix. And in order to break the fat and break up the bile, you need to thin it, right? You need to make it more mobile, as some people say, like my man Bane, right? Time to go mobile. Well, the whole thing is, well, if it doesn't break down in water, what does it break down with? And the answer is fat. So you need to have olive oil, and extra olive oil stands head and shoulders above all the other oils. Coconut oil, avocado oil, you know, there's a whole list that you can see, whole shelves in the grocery store. So you take your pick. Big shout out to Eat Right for your blood type. As a O blood type, I'm going to be sticking with extra virgin olive oil and not the other ones. But that's, I digress. So going back to the stages of healing and restoration of the liver, and then the process of actually breaking it down looks like first cutting off the things that are causing the issue, if there is damage, right? Going into autophagy is, there's actually a couple ways to do it. Sleeping is one of them, because you're not eating. But then fasting kicks it in, because your body needs that energy. And where's it going to get it from? It's going to get it from the stuff that's stored and the bad stuff. And then going without forces your body into starvation mode. And then the body's really smart, so it'll be attacking itself in the best way possible, and then moving it out. I should say loosening it up. So it loosens up the bile, and it loosens up what is bad and potentially cancerous. And then the next phase is you needing to take in more of the fat, like the oils, and that's what moves it out of your system. Right. So it's not going to work with water. It's not going to work with juice. This is what works with fat, which is coming from the oil. When that happens, that's when you see a dramatic change in your body. First, on a superficial level, your eyes will clear up, your skin clears up, your nails become stronger and they grow faster, because all the stuff is being pushed out, right? But then the magic happens when the things that are bad in your body are being attacked and then repurposed, reused, recycled, right? So that is what it can look like, and that will bring healing. Once again, depending on what stage you're in, that's when you'll be able to see how effective it is. And then when you are slowly healing and it's becoming more, your body's more optimal for these processes, it's even faster. And then you'll be living that best life, because you're able to run around. You're able to catch your breath. You're able to do physically demanding things without brain fog, without headaches, without nausea, without fatigue, right? And the best part is, it is natural, right? So the whole thing is trying to go from partially functioning, but just realize that you might not realize that you're partially functioning, to full functioning, and then being able to optimize that. So, autophagy, aiming for that. Fasting, to make that a regular thing, to learn how to do it in a incremental way until it becomes part of your lifestyle, and then having periods of time where it's prolonged. And so the first order of business is cutting off the bad stuff, changing, rejigging the diet, the pattern, working on those vices like smoking, alcohol consumption, food that's just not junk food, right? And then resetting the organs and the body as a whole, recovering, getting used to it, increasing it. So if fasting once a week is too hard, try it once a month. When you're able to work up to twice a month, then get used to that, then do it once a week. When you do it once a week, start scheduling times to do it prolonged, instead of having that window of eating of 6 hours, so fasting for 18 hours, increase it to one day, 24 hours, right? And I know this can be a daunting task if this is your first time hearing it, but think about the benefits of not being medicated for whatever your disease or ailment is. Imagine yourself taking prophylactic measures, right? You're going to be preventing damage in the long haul. And then when you get later in life, you'll be looking like LL Cool J or Shannon Sharp, choose whoever, J-Lo, right? And these are all things that are part and parcel of not just maintaining what you have that is good, but then holding on to it and also still having the capacity to grow later on in life. So that choice is yours and yours alone. I made the decision to do it and have no regrets. I think one of those things is having seen the change from losing 100 pounds, but then saying, okay, what can I do next? Where do I go from here? And that definitely is the rehab part, to restore what was broken. And then not just, oh, hey, remember the glory days when I was young and was able to do whatever I wanted. No, it's repairing the damage from those glory days and saying, so that I can have a great life when I'm in my 80s, right? The next thing is asking yourself, if you had a new lease on life, if you had a second chance to do some things physically, what would those things be? If that's the question, look at yourself right now and say, what's limiting? Do I have a handicap? Do I have a disability? Do I have an injury? What's the hindrance to myself in mobility, right? So what aches? What's painful? Oh man, I got a bum shoulder. Oh, I really got an injured knee. Right. Make a list of those things. And what are you able to do for that repetitive motion of weight resistance or cardio that won't aggravate that area of the body? If once you've done that, you can work around it and then start to rehab those things that are injured. And going back to autophagy, that might be something that is restoring those areas on the cellular level. Like I'm talking like bones, ligaments, tendons can be restored and then fortified, right? That's what the process of breaking down the muscle when you work out with the weighted resistance and then strengthening it, right? So this is a multifaceted form of healing and just building up and then going the distance. All right. So you have this list of physical limitations. If it's a short list, praise be to God. If it's a long list, you can still work with it and then just accept it. If you accept that and then you go into it without, you know, compromising whatever the part of your body is, you'll be able to start having these gains in the best direction possible. The next question to ask is, what is able to be rehabbed? What is able to be restored? One of the secrets that I had learned, I should say one of the lessons that I had learned while playing rugby, was that no one plays at 100%. Right, even the new guy, right? There's going to be something that is something that has impacted them physically. All right. Well, if that's the case, am I still able to give 100% for 80 minutes? The answer is yes. Well, then you can still play rugby. Go for it. Well, the same thing applies here with your physique and with being physical and moving around and going to the gym and working on these areas. If you are able to be acutely aware of what that limitation is and then say, I can go beyond this by working around it, whether it be in the pool or low intensity walking, right? And just go for it, because the beautiful thing is when you lose a couple pounds, like 5 pounds, 10 pounds, it is exponential from the pressure that is released off of your joints from just walking up a flight of stairs or up an incline or around the block. All right. Now that you've identified what can be salvaged, what are those things that you can work with? How can you build those things up? And in my mind, one of the things that had been neglected was the relationship between abdominals, the stomach muscles, lower back, hamstrings, and hips. When those things are in right balance, all of a sudden there isn't pain after you've been sitting for a long time, or there isn't pain from walking upstairs or walking downstairs. While this might seem very, very basic, this is something that can severely impact your life satisfaction if it is injured, right? We all know those people who say, oh, when they get stressed out, they throw out their back goes out, or they start to lean to one side because that's the side that's been compensating for the weakness on the other side, right? Now there's some neck pain, there's some shoulder pain. Well, what's the cause of this? It's the compensation that your body's making, because your body's really smart, and it takes a certain amount of equilibrium, staying in balance, before one side of your body works a little bit harder to keep you even. Well, if you recognize that, you can strengthen that. You can fix that. You can, fix your posture. You can do the exercises in an even manner in terms of push, pull, carry, right? And that forces the structure of your anatomy to be in line. Something as simple as active stretching and not favoring exercises and then neglecting other exercises can do wonders for your entire system. From there, prioritize what those weaknesses are. Only you know where those areas are, but start doing those as if that's the primary exercise, right? The primary focus. Start working on that, incorporate it into your routine, and then you'll see after you record the results, and then you also feel the results. Go from there so you limit what those weaknesses are. All right, let's go back to liver function for a second. If you are just sleepy and tired all the time and are trying to remedy it with caffeine, it actually might be a liver issue. If you have inflammation, pretty much, and you name whatever those areas are, it might be the source might be the liver. If you have the cracked skin I was telling you about, that might be the issue. The second you're able to identify it, that's when you can address it. So if you know that there's some bad tap water and you've been drinking tap water, you can't avoid it when you shower, right? It's going into your system. This might be something that really aids the process of healing, recovering, and then being help over your overall health. If you're around a lot of people who smoke cigarettes, smoke weed, whatever that is, vaping, right? If that's in your proximity, it might be a reason to purposely detox the liver and do things that will aid that healing so that it doesn't impact your entire body. The bad yeast, right, is something that will need to get broken down. Viruses, bad bacteria. I think most people know that there's good bacteria, bad bacteria. Like that's the whole health movement with the prebiotics, probiotics, just gut biome. If you have those things in check, your body's full functioning and then able to be optimized. The thing that blew my mind about the whole thing, the whole process, was noticing that there's a trend to do the juices and the cleanses and have all these kits and have all these powders, but it doesn't actually address the issue if it is a liver problem. It's good that things are being supplemented with these nutrients and these vitamins and these minerals. But if you have a problem in your transmission, you know, putting awesome tires on your car is not going to do you any good. Upgrading the type of fuel you use is not going to do you any good. It's transmission work. The same thing applies to your liver. All right, so get those good fats. If you're looking for the process, right, of going into autophagy, and you started fasting, and you understand that in this moment of, oh, yes, I'm starving, that is your body moving into that right phase of being able to break down the bad, to take those components, to use it for good, and then get rid of the bad, that which is the waste. A common thing that happens is bile blockage. Anyone with gallstones, a gallbladder issue, kidney issues, urinary issues would already know off the bat that is one of the things that is not functioning properly and is impacting your entire body. You ever look at someone's eyes and it's cloudy? It's like kind of yellowish, kind of brownish. And I'm not talking about in the retina, or in the cornea, whatever part of that has color in your eye, but it's where the whites of your eyes should be. If it's foggy or discolored, that could be a liver and kidney issue, and it's backing up, right? That's just one indicator. If you have, if it's going in the opposite direction, like the poison that should be leaving the body, the toxins that should be leaving the body are going back up into your liver, back into your kidneys, or there's the blockage from kidney stones, gallstones, that is a problem. How do you break it down? Like just said earlier, it needs fat, not water. It's fat soluble, not water soluble. When you have bile salts, which is a great supplement, use at your own discretion, especially if you're not used to them. That's what loosens it up and then is able to go in the right direction, not having a backup. So, I can't recommend enough learning about detoxification and the things that aid it, being full of antioxidants. Green tea is a great example. Milk thistle is another one. It's a weed, kind of bitter, dandelion, all that stuff. All the things that are very sharp in taste happen to be very effective for cleaning out your liver. The cruciferous vegetables, one of my favorites is arugula, helps. I'm not a fan of Brussels sprouts or cabbage or, I like broccoli, but, what's that one? I'm trying to, looks like broccoli, but it's white. Cauliflower, right? All those are good, but if you're going to be on whatever blood type, for people like me who are O, those are not good. The ones to stick to are arugula and broccoli. The other ones, other food groups that help, other veggies that help, I should say, are onions. So next time you're at In-N-Out, make sure you throw those onions on your burger. Onions are great. Garlic is great. Anything that's rich in sulfur, eggs, almost has a complete amino acid profile, right? Garlic, great stuff. Introduce that along with olive oil and you will be golden and you'll be radiant, right? Turmeric is great. Shout out to all my peoples who love Indian food. Very rich in turmeric. Cayenne pepper is good stuff. Just keep in mind the very sharp things that'll probably make your breath smell. That does wonders for your liver and for your kidneys. I don't want to get too much into what type of salt, you know, pink Himalayan salt, iodized salt, whatever those the cases may be. But the whole thing is it being a necessary component, not just for flavor. I mean, I wouldn't say it's necessary, but it impacts the flavor when you have salt in it. But then what's the function when salt goes through your body, right? That'll be more on a case-to-case basis, because not everyone has, not everyone has a low sodium diet, or they might have a very high salt intake. These things, very similar to caffeine, can be reset just by abstaining from them and then resetting the palate, right? So I don't want this to be a 10-hour diatribe on salt, so I'll just leave it at that. But it's one of those moments to say, what's the whole purpose? And it's to break down the bad stuff and then reuse the bad stuff that's able to be salvaged. That's the point of autophagy and fasting, which that you get from fasting. But then to put everything in order so that you can be healthy and then be fully optimized, right? The next thing is getting vitamin E, right? And the reason that is important to take in vitamin E is because it heals scar tissue. So going into just, I guess, a brief reiteration of this episode is being preventative, then being restorative, and then being healed and going forward, right? This is does wonders all around, but the whole thing is recognizing it first and then doing what it takes to fix it. Fasting will do wonders for that. Going on a ketogenic diet, or at least for a phase, for a regimen, will do wonders for it. Resetting your system so that it can be doing what it's supposed to do is something that a ton of elderly people wish they had done sooner. We've met people who are middle-aged. It's weird to be saying it out loud that that's where I'm at right now as a 37-year-old, but it can be something that, if taken seriously and then being vigilant on, I'll be laughing when I'm 100, right? I'll say, oh, I thought I was middle-aged when I was 37. Well, middle-aged for me then would be 50, right? You put all these things together and you have a great recipe for longevity and stamina, and then not just being alive in triple digit ages, age, but to have that quality of life. And one of those things that you don't want to do is say, if I had known sooner. When I was young, I was just so reckless and carefree, living my best life. Well, the best life would be having the ability to be physical when you're older in life and not be confined to a wheelchair or confined to just sitting down and taking naps all the time because you're barely holding it together, right? This is a thing where if you just look forward a little bit, let's say go in 10-year increments, those every time you have a milestone birthday, right? 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 75, maybe 80, 90, 100. Those are moments where a little bit of a reflection on what led up to this point, with a little bit of a forecast of where you want to be, can be done in these 24 hours. Talk to anyone with diabetes. Do you want to be on insulin? Is it something that, is this medication what you want to be doing? That's a silly rhetorical question. No one wants to have diabetes. What if you found out you could reverse it, right? Everyone would jump on that, and you can, right? You just have to do the soul searching and the research to see how that impacts your body. One of the things that, you know, completely controversial and seems to be not really talked about is the addiction to carbs and the beauty of being O blood type is my ancestors didn't eat carbs. We hunted food and ate veggies. So meat and veggies, right? The thing with switching your body from eating carbs to fat is very satisfying, and it keeps you steady on what your insulin levels are, right? So it's going to be a shocker to tell people, oh, you don't have to eat carbs. And the carbs that you do take in can be something that is beneficial and not toxic to you, right? So if you're diabetic, pre-diabetic, you have an insulin resistance, or your body doesn't accept it, right? If that's the case, have a meal with oil in it, a ton of oil. Like I'm talking Mediterranean diet, where you're dipping whatever your salad is in oil. The level of satisfaction that you have after that does wonders, and it's enough to point to these other cultures that aren't carb dense, or at least in the processed sense, and you can see that you're not going to be miserable. You're going to be very happy. Having the protein keeps you satiated longer, fuller longer, and then being able to have a full functioning liver, because all these things are in order, keeps you from being sick, and it actually staves off cancer, right, and other diseases or other aberrations on the cellular level. So yeah, I think this is one of those moments where just think about the things that are worthwhile now, and if they impact you later, right? Which one's worth it? Is smoking cigarettes, is that something that's is just a vice and it's a habit for feeling better and having that dopamine release? Or is it something that you could live without? If so, that could be something that is scaled back, right? I'm a fan of cold turkey attack, right? Just giving up stuff completely. But if that is what the struggle is because of the addictive qualities to tobacco, and not just the quality of tobacco, right? Those big brand cigarettes with all that other junk in it. Are you able to scale back? Are you able to find something else to do instead of smoking a cigarette and going on a smoke break? There's actually a ton of things that you can do, and one of them is physical exercise. Studies have shown that doing something physical instead of that vice, in this case be smoking, is just as impactful to the pleasure receptors in your brain. And that's a great way to get off of the thing that is fun in the short term, but then very, very expensive to fix, if not leads to death, right, in the future. Well, instead of going on a cigarette break, go for a walk, do some push-ups. All right. I don't want to beat this over the head too much, but the whole thing that I say practically every episode is try it for 6 to 8 weeks. See how you feel. In this case, this is unique because it has to do with repairing an organ, you know, the liver. And this takes about a year, 2 years, sometimes 3 years, depending on how much damage has been done. I know in my life, I had been drinking. That was a regular part of my diet, right? One meal a day, almost guaranteed, was some type of alcoholic beverage, whether it be a mixed drink, a cocktail, a glass of wine, a beer, right? That was standard. If you know, it was a moment of being like, okay, if I'm taking care of baby girl or working or all that stuff, save it for the weekends or when baby girl's not around. And it wouldn't be over the top like my college years, right? But it was still a moment where it was something that was adversely impacting my liver. Coming up with the decision to abstain from alcohol until my birthday was practically an impulse decision, just to see if I could. And I knew I could, but then seeing the effects of it, I'm like, oh wow, I think this might be a hidden key that, well, I guess was hidden to me for overall health. And then watching LL Cool J and Shay Shay talk on the show, both of them are older men who are in phenomenal shape. And one of the things that LL Cool J was referring to when he had a drink with Shannon Sharp was, I don't drink. I'll do it in this moment because this is part of the show, but I actually don't drink alcohol at all. And to take that to heart, you might have to just say, oh, well, I can lift harder, I can do more running, more swimming, whatever it is, that physical activity. But there might be a way to kickstart in a very special and unique and powerful way, and that is to avoid alcohol, right? If you have inflammation, arthritis, cancer, hepatitis, cirrhosis of the liver, like those are very specific extremes. But cleaning up the liver and going into autophagy is something that might be beyond beneficial. It might be the necessary thing to do instead of being locked into medication or very expensive treatment, chemotherapy, right? If this is brand new to hearing autophagy, I mean, that term was new to me in terms of just adding it to my lexicon, but that process is, I don't even have the words to describe how powerful it would be for anyone looking to get in shape or anyone trying to go to that next level with what they're doing physically and wherever they're at on their fitness journey. If you're just starting out, go slow, seek advice. You know, the plans of the successful are in the company of many advisors. So talk to your friend, talk to someone who's doing it, talk to your role model, follow what your role model is saying, or whoever that idol is. Collect the information, but then put it into practice. If you just have all this information from listening to my UVU podcast for these mini episodes, it does you no good. When you apply it, that's when you can really do something with it. So, yeah, I guess I'll leave you all with that. Your future self is thanking you now for these changes. And yeah, that's the only thing we have right now. 24 hours we have now and the hour of our death. All right, people, this is your boy Dave Woods signing off on You Versus You. These are keys that work for me. I can't open the door and walk through it with you. You're gonna have to open it yourself and go through it. I'll see you on the other side. Peace.